fear not. Mary, don't fear. Joseph, don't fear. I'll lead you. I will feed you. I will provide everything necessary to make the trip I ask you to make. It'll be a hard trip at times. More of a supernatural trip. The adversary will be around. But remember, fear not, Mary and Joseph, for I am everywhere present. And I am the all-powerful one, all-sufficient. By my grace, you will make this journey. By my power, you will be protected. Fear not. Let's begin. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. No need to turn there yet, but you can. Notice two words for the subject this morning: fear not. The introduction is very brief. It says over and over again, we men. I want all the men to especially tune in this morning. We need to hear what's about to be read. I don't know about you, but a lot of me is in this. I didn't have to think too hard. I've lived a lot of this. I stand here, honestly speaking, as a result of the prayers of my wife, praying that God would get me back in church. But he called me to preach. You prayed too much, too long. Fear not. When the women we love become wise by growing in the Lord, something is conceived. Underline conceived. In other words, something supernaturally is created in them. Something supernaturally is created in them. When the women we love become wise by growing in the Lord, something supernaturally is created in them of. Underline the word of, O-F. It means the source of. So the source of this supernatural creativity is none other than the Holy Spirit Himself. Perhaps they come back from a prayer meeting and they are just elated in the Lord. Perhaps they begin a new Bible study, or they become excited about the Lord. If we are not careful, we will think on these things, but then say, I don't know if this is good for my wife. What you're actually saying, men, is I don't know if this is good for my life. Because if she's really in the spiritual realm and the Holy Spirit is creating in her that which is supernatural, which is of the Holy Spirit and of God, she's probably going to confront me and ask me questions. Can I be like this? Can I, as a man, experience a supernatural creativity of God on the inside of me? The answer is yes, you can. I'll go back a little bit. If we are not careful, we will think on these things, but then say, I don't know if this is good for my wife, because she is getting a little too spiritual. In other words, there's a divine purging taking place in her life. Ephesians 5:18 now is really strong in her life. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled, be motivated, be divinely influenced by the Holy Spirit of God. And that's what's taking place. And as a husband that really is not into this spiritual stuff, I really don't know what to do with it or what to think about it. And we'll begin to squirm a bit when our wives tell us that a passion for Jesus is being conceived within them, because although they don't express it and maybe haven't even articulated it, the fact remains that to some men, Jesus can be the other man in his wife's life. Listen closely. You mean you're getting up early now, the man says, and praying? That may put some pressure on me, because if I don't do what you're doing, it's going to make me look bad. When did that start, we ask? What about my breakfast? You want to go to church again? We went last month. Somehow, in women, who are oftentimes innately more spiritually sensitive than men, the Holy Spirit can begin to conceive something of Jesus Christ. And we guys can start to fear. But the Lord would say to you and me as husbands, fear not, don't worry. Husband, the more your wife falls in love with that other man, Jesus Christ, her capacity will expand to love you along with loving Jesus himself. Then there's that point one. Guys, if you want your wives to give you the best in any area, let them be expanded in the Lord. And what the Lord said to Mary, and really to Joseph, don't fear. Mainly to the husbands, everything is going to be okay. You see, the husband does fear. A wife that is experiencing the supernatural creativity of the Holy Spirit in her life. And I want to say to the men, to the husbands, be careful what you say about what the Holy Spirit is creating in your woman, your wife. If you're not careful as a husband, you could be belittling the creativity of Almighty God. You could be downplaying the ministry that God is beginning in your wife. Something she hasn't experienced before, but now she's beginning to experience that supernatural creativity. And now a ministry has begun in her life. Now she's really hungry for the word of the living God. So I say to all men here this morning, be careful that you don't get caught downplaying the work of Almighty God in the life of your wife. Amen? Amen. Thank you. Matthew chapter 1 verse 20. It says, but after he had considered, underline that word considered, we're talking about Joseph. He's doing some serious thinking here. The word considered in the Greek language means sanctified reasoning. Sanctified reasoning. That word sanctified means to be set apart for the work of God. Set apart for sacred use. But after he had considered, and this is sanctified reasoning, that moves believers in Jesus Christ to act in accordance with the will of the living God. So where do you find the will of God? We find the will of God in the Word of God. For the Word of God is the will of God. It is what God wants you to do. It is divine instruction. But after he had considered this, take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 1. We'll define what this is referring to. It refers to Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, before they had sex, she was found to be with child as a result of the supernatural creativity of the Holy spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to give her a secret divorce, something that nobody would know about. Now go back to the scripture. But after he had considered this, an angel, underline the word angel. Let me give you a few notes on angel. Number one, God here is using an angel to bridge the gap as he works simultaneously in the heavenly and physical realms. This angel is being used to connect Joseph to God's purposes. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Underline that word dream, and a dream is defined here as a vision during sleep. A vision during sleep, saying, Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid. Underline that word afraid. When you look up this word afraid, it means do not withdraw from. So what is he not to withdraw from? That is to take. Underline that word take. In the Greek language, the word take means to show a strong personal initiative as you follow through with God's plan. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived, underline the word conceived, again, it refers to a supernatural conception, all right? Supernatural, because this creativity that is supernatural has come about by the creative power of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I have a question here I want to ask you in connection to the word conceived. The question is, why the virgin birth? Why the virgin birth? Well, here's the answer. Because it would take a perfect, sinless life to be absolutely effective to fulfill the law, and listen, which called for a perfect death at Calvary. You and I are what? We are sinners. We are born into sin. And therefore, it was going to take a perfect death, a sinless death of Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to fulfill the law. And who was that? It was none other than Jesus Christ himself. He was the God-man. And remember, he did not have an old sin nature. The old sin nature comes through the seed of man. So every human being that is born is going to be born with an old sin nature. And let me remind you again very quickly, even Mary was born with an old sin nature. She had a human father, and therefore Mary was born in need of a Savior just like you and I. And that Savior was her son, Jesus Christ. So she gave birth to a son through supernatural creativity, and somewhere in the raising of that son as he got older, Mary took some time under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and she too accepted Jesus Christ as her personal Lord and Savior. All right, back to Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been supernaturally conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to write this little note right here. God always reveals his will to us at just the right moment. God always reveals his will to us at just the right moment. Now, there's something else connected to the Holy Spirit that we must understand. And I want you to listen as you look at the Holy Spirit. If you don't have it underlined, underline Holy Spirit. And I want you to listen to this. Here, the Holy Spirit is bridging the gap. And you need to understand this if you're going to understand the virgin birth. Here, the Holy Spirit is bridging the two dimensions of what is invisible and what is physically visible. I just gave you a definition of the God-man. Now, God is invisible. And then you have the birth of Christ. It is going to produce Jesus Christ in a fleshly body. He's going to be visible. So let me give you that definition one more time. Here the Holy Spirit is bridging the two dimensions of what is invisible and what is going to be physically visible. Again, that's the definition of the God-man. All right, let's look at some questions. Question number one, men, when you find yourself in an extremely difficult situation, what must you be able to do? What did Joseph do? What did he do? You've got to be able to hear God speak. And he did just that. And then respond to the leading of Almighty God under the Holy Spirit. Question number two. Was obeying God new in the life of Joseph? The answer is no. Number three. When God asks you to do something for the first time, do you usually struggle to obey? What was your answer? Well, mine was yes. When God called me first to preach, did I struggle? Absolutely. Did I back away a little bit? Absolutely. Did I keep praying? Yes. Until finally He broke me down. And I appreciate Him breaking me down. Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The word poor means completely bankrupt. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. He had to get me to that place before I would come to Him. And I won't forget that. Number four, what qualified Joseph for this particular assignment? His past obedience. If you are obedient in the past, will it be easier to be obedient in the present? The answer is yes. So obedience has its part. Number five, what did God see in the life of Joseph that was important to being the foster father of Jesus Christ? Again, that pattern of obedience. Turn to the top of page two. Number six, what did Joseph's actions display? A very deep trust in God. Now there's Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Now when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, a night vision, and said, "Get up." What did he say? "Joseph, take till the morning comes. Think about it. And then if you decide to get up, you got time to go to Uncle Bubba's and eat breakfast. And after you leave there, then you might want to make the journey." That's not what he said. Now when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up." Get up when? At that very moment. All right, there's a reason for that. Get up. Take the child. How old is the child? The child is about 2 years old. Let me make this quick mention right here. At the birth of Jesus, there were no wise men. At the birth of Jesus, there were no wise men. That's just on Christmas cards. Jesus Christ is 2 years old here, around 2 years of age. That much time has gone by. Get up. Take the child. And the word child here does not refer to an infant. It refers to someone older than that, around 2 years of age. Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt. You might want to underline that word Egypt. It's not a place that you would send your children and tell them to go in this particular situation. He said, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod, underline Herod, and I want you to somewhere up above that write Satan. Herod is not alone in this. He is being influenced by the devil himself, and also the demons are very active in what Satan is trying to do through a human being named Herod. for Herod. I want you to just take this note or listen to this. Here's what he's saying. Herod, are you going to challenge the will of God? What a fool. Are you going to try and frustrate the will of God? Stupider than I thought. Do you really think, Herod, you can prevent this from taking place? And your answer would be, not hardly. I know Herod on his side has Satan and the demons, and they are highly organized. But when you look at Joseph and Mary at the moment, and someone has been with them, someone is with them now as we read this in present tense, and someone was going to be with them in the future. It was Almighty God. I'll repeat this one more time. Here you have God, all powerful. Satan is not. Everywhere present, Satan is not. All sufficient, Satan is not. Let me tell you something. When God says, get up and go now, don't pack your clothes, don't pack anything to eat, just take what you've got and hit the road, and I will take care of you. We'll talk about that in a moment. He says, for Herod intends to search for the child in order to destroy him. So Joseph got up then and took the child around 2 years of age and his mother while it was still night. There's your answer right there. He's having a night dream and he's still in the night. And so he says to Mary, hey, just get the child, wrap it up in what you can, take what you've got to take, and we're fixing to get up right now and we are fixing to make a journey. We are fixing to be obedient unto the living God, even though we don't have a clue as to how this is going to turn out. And of all things, he says, go down to pagan Egypt. What would you have said? What would you have said if you were in that situation? Take my grandchild. Take him to the Hyatt Regency. Take him somewhere where they have central air, central heat, a nice restroom, nice bathtub. Take him where it is safe. Take him where it is comfortable. What is Mary and Joseph going to have to do that God tells us we need to do every moment of our life in every situation? Because every situation of your life and my life carries with it eternal consequences. And in every situation, there's going to be a report given on why I did or did not trust God as I was asked to do. Can't you hear the excuses, Jeff? Well, you know what? I couldn't get the sleep out of my eyes. Man, I just had a hard time doing that. And I just don't wake up real quick. I was hunting for a cup of coffee. If I get my caffeine, then it's going to wake me up. And then you know what? Then you know what? We'll wait till morning time and it won't be dark and it'll be daylight and we can see where we're going. You know, I think we need to think about, you know what? He has just shot past human logic, God did, telling them to do and go where he did. He did just the opposite of what you and I would have done with our beloved child. Once again, Christianity is beyond human logic. If you don't believe it, read your Bible. All right, here we go. Herod intends to search for the child in order to destroy him. Was that tried in Genesis chapter 6? The Nephilim. I got a study coming that's going to blow your ever-loving mind. Here we go. So Joseph got up, it's still dark, and took the child and his mother while it was still night and left for Egypt. Would that be a dangerous trip? Hello? It would be a dangerous trip if you went on that trip without God, right? But they're doing what God has told them to do. Is that right? So they're right square in the middle of the plan of God. Obedience has put them there. God is saying, you do what I tell you to do, and I'll supply everything, and I'll protect you the whole way. Amen? Amen. Thank you. Joseph was a hardworking man, an outstanding man of honor, dignity. He had a solid reputation in the city of Sepphoris. Now, you know where Sepphoris is, don't you? And was earning a good income. Let's see. You might want to underline some words. Hard working, outstanding, solid reputation, a good income. In Egypt, Joseph had no contacts or a permit to work. God, are you sending me somewhere where I cannot easily get work? God says, got it. I can't get a permit to work? God says, got it. You're just going to have to trust me. Trust me and obey me. Let's continue. To leave and go to Egypt was a drastic, life-changing move into a pagan environment. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I'd really like to take care of him the best I can. God says, you know what? I'm going to take care of him. You just once again obey what I tell you to do. This meant leaving all the comforts and security of what he and Mary had known. Question, did Joseph argue with God? The answer is, if you don't get this right, I'm going to let you talk to Dwayne. The answer is no, right? You know, I sat there for a moment and I thought, Terry, how in the world can you argue with God? I've already told you this 3 or 4 times. How can you argue with God that is all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere present, and all-sufficient? Anybody got a clue how to do that? Raise your hand. I'd love to talk to you. You're smart people. That's why I love you like I do. He promptly obeyed. Notice the word promptly. He didn't roll it around in his head. His own brain, because, you know, Tom, you can only go so far in your brain, Ann said. You know it, don't you, Ann? You got it. But he's a sharp boy. He promptly obeyed. His obedience to God. His obedience to God was far more important than his hard-earned status. And believe me, there would have been plenty to be preoccupied with their hard-earned status. Point number one, Joseph knew he was to obey God regardless of the cost. Number two, would God be faithful to provide for their needs? The answer is yes. The Lord brought unexpected gifts. Would you underline unexpected gifts? Let's start with grace gifts. God already had the gifts ready before they got started on the trip. God already knew what he was going to give them in eternity past before anything existed or was created. That's how far ahead God is of you and me. We usually dwell in the moment. But God says, I was way back there in eternity past, already had all this figured out, had it all provided. I'm just waiting on you to obey so I can unleash this stuff in your life. The Lord brought unexpected gifts. Below that, I put unexpected provision. What do you and I do? Lord, how are you going to provide? If you ask me to do this and go to Egypt and you know I'm not going to be able to work, that's a pagan environment, then what's going to happen? Along with obedience to God comes unexpected provision. Right? What's one of the most important things you do in your life as a child of God? Obey Him. You know why? He has so much unexpected provision for you waiting to be released. But you and I don't want to make a move. Why? Until we have expected provisions. I'm not making this trip I don't know what's going to happen. Read your Bible once again. You don't have to know. Just obey the living God and He will always be there with His provisions, grace, gifts. Well, you saw gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You know that story. Question, husbands, are you the solid spiritual leader of your family? We talked about your wife getting turned on to God, didn't we, as we began this? About the supernatural creativity of God. Let me ask you, husbands, is the supernatural creativity of God active in your life right now? I don't know who's going to sit in the Oval Office. They say it's Biden. Could be. I haven't given up yet. Do I know what the next 4 years are going to hold? No. Are you worried about it? God didn't tell me to worry about it. I believe it'd be one of the greatest opportunities we're going to see in the house of the living God. Because people are going to see things happen they've only thought about. Maybe even dream, if their dreams would go that far to the left. So what will we do? Reflect on this story. When it seems like we're in Egypt and jobs are scarce, and we say we thought the coronavirus was really bad until this next disease came along. And brother, I'll tell you what, it made the coronavirus look like a little kid. Well, I got news for you. Stay obedient to the living God, and those unexpected provisions will fall in your lap each and every day of your life. Do you know God is watching you just as He watched Joseph? Are you faithful to what God has already asked you to do? Are you merciful or legalistic and judgmental? Are you leading your family spiritually and by example? Do you take them to church regularly and go yourself? Do you show that serving God is an option or that it is a serious business? What good things can God say about you? The point and the last. Just as God chose Mary and Joseph on purpose for His purpose, He has also chosen you for His purpose. Have you ever asked yourself, God, why in the world did you choose me? Why did you come to me and save me? You knew what I was going to be like, and yet you came to me when I wasn't even thinking about you and coming to you, yet you came to me. And if God has come to you, and if you're spiritually saved, He has, then brother, He came with a purpose. Humbly ask this question, Lord, why me? Why did you choose me to be a part of your plan? What do you see in my character, my abilities, in my heart that has caused you to include me in your purposes? What a blessing to be called to the purposes of God and live under the influence of the Holy Spirit and have the supernatural creativity in your life, creating something new and different. Let me tell you something. The life of a Christian that is obedient to Christ, it never is dull. That's right. Never. Never. In Jesus' name. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for seeing how important obedience to God is and how unexpected provisions, they await our obedient life. Grace, gifts, They're there always on time. And God, you always appear on time when you know that we're struggling in our reasoning. You speak. You speak in your word, and that's why reading the word of God and praying is so very important, because there's nothing more important than hearing God speak in a time that is very difficult and hard. Let us look at these gold nuggets from Mary and Joseph and realize that our lives are the same way. Supernatural creativity brought something into our lives that we couldn't explain. But we know it has come from God, and God will provide, and God will grow us, that we may be of influence in the lives of others. Thank God for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.